Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Mile High Hoops with Zach Bye.
What is up and welcome to another edition of the Mile High Hoops podcast. As always, I'm your host, Zach Bye, and as always, I appreciate you taking a sliver of your busy schedule to spend some time with me here on the podcast today. Man, it is good vibes all around. You know, I wish I was able to come in here yesterday and react to the Bulls win. And I do have a couple of thoughts on that. But at the time of recording, it is Wednesday morning, and it is the morning after the Denver Nuggets absolutely ran the Milwaukee Bucks off the floor. I mean, are you kidding me? Denver 3-0 on the road trip. Now 5 games over 500. This is the most games they have been over 500 in this season. They've teetered around 4 games over a couple times, I believe, but never 5 games over. And it is coming at the right time as the All-Star break is approaching. The Nuggets are just playing a high brand of basketball. Let me just give like just one or two thoughts from the Bulls game, because just to take you behind the curtain here, my family and I are looking for a home to move into this spring. And it is a very, very exhausting process. So I wasn't able to come in here the way that I wanted to after the Bulls win. I thought the Bulls win was as good as the Bucks win. And I know on the surface that doesn't make much sense, because the Bulls have lost more games than they won, and the Bucks, you know, have the reigning MVP and are in the top half of the Eastern Conference, and we're coming off some signature wins of their own. But the resiliency that the Nuggets showed on Monday night on the front portion of the back-to-back was incredible. I mean, incredible. You had injuries just all around. No, you know, Paul Millsap, no Jermichael Green, no Facundo Campazzo. I mean, the list goes on. I mean, the list just goes on. And the way that they were up and then got down in the fourth quarter, and Jokic and Jamal Murray. You know, we had this conversation, and it relates to the Bucks game as well, but we had this conversation last week with Brendan Vogt of DNVR. Like, the top-end talent on your team is what is the biggest or main ingredient of trying to win a championship. Now, you need the rest of the roster, too. You need the supporting cast, too. I'm not being dismissive of that. But you don't win championships or a championship without having multiple Hall of Famers and them just consistently on a very, very regular basis being the best versions of themselves. And that's what we're seeing from Jamal and Jokic in the fourth quarter the other night. I mean, it was Jokic scoring 17 points in the fourth quarter. It was Jamal and Jokic accounting for 25 of the 29 points in that fourth quarter. So it's dragging everyone else across the finish line with you. And because of how many guys were out and because of the nature of the game, like the Bucks game was very different. The Nuggets were in control from jump street. All right, we'll get to that in a second. But because of the grinded out nature on the road, I was just so impressed with that win on Monday night. So that leads us to Tuesday night. And it's the second night of a back-to-back. It's the Milwaukee Bucks, right? They're a terrific basketball team. I think they came in at 21-13. They were riding a 5-game winning streak. They had just got a really good win over the Clippers over the weekend. And they come in, or the Nuggets go into Milwaukee, and the Bucks have tremendous momentum. Tremendous. And the way that they just handled their business. So the Nuggets have been a very good first quarter team. You guys probably know that. But that first quarter yesterday was just brilliant. Or last night, I should say, at the time of recording on Tuesday night. The score at the end of 12 minutes was 37-23. I mean, you can't get off to a better start than that. And then they didn't have the letdown quarter, and not the second quarter or the third quarter, in which they struggled with independently. Each of those two quarters have really been a big issue for Denver this season. And in the second quarter, they held firm at even. And in the third quarter, they win that quarter by five. So, and then they run them off the floor in the fourth quarter. So the score in the fourth quarter reminded me of the first quarter. If you just isolate that last stanza, it's 29-17. That was the backstretch of the contest. So, I mean, I couldn't be more impressed. So, like, the resiliency I was talking about in the Bulls' victory on Monday night, it's, you can sort of extrapolate that same thought over the course of the season, where right now I'm just really impressed with the mettle of the group. I really am, because it hasn't been perfect. We know about the injury stuff. There's no Gary. There's no, you know, Millsap. You know, it's been rough. It's been rough, right? And you're seeing Nikola continue to do what Nikola has done this season. And I think that he is really starting to gain momentum in the MVP conversation as they win more games, because he's doing what he has been doing all season. He's doing the same thing. But the Nuggets are winning games, and you can't legitimately be in that MVP conversation without the wins to go with it, right? So you got to win games, and you got to be brilliant, and the combination of those two things are happening right now. So I mentioned the Nuggets are 20-15. They're just a couple games out. It's so logjam there in the West with, you know, Portland and Golden State and San Antonio, the Clippers and the Lakers and Suns. I mean, it is all, it's not, there is not some incredible separation there. So everything's still in play, right? We haven't even hit the All-Star break, and the Nuggets are putting their foot on the gas. A couple things. One, I could not believe, you know, the context that is sinking in for me, as well as I think the basketball community, with the success of Jokic this year, it's so insane. And I am becoming almost, you know, I say this tongue in cheek, but I'm almost becoming exhausted trying to articulate exactly what we're seeing from Nikola, because I've never seen it before. I've never seen it. He's doing Wilt Chamberlain-like things in the modern era. So his 50th triple-double, 50th triple-double of his career happens on Tuesday night, when Jokic goes for 37 points, 11 assists, 10 rebounds. He was coming off a game where he missed a triple-double by just one digit. It was the sixth time this season that had happened. So it's historic. I mean, it's nothing short of historic. But then you add in the scoring component to the triple-doubles, and I was just jaw on the floor, flabbergasted, when I saw Adam Mares tweet from DNVR that he's got, I got to pull it up now just to make sure, because I don't want to misquote it. It's about 35-point games, okay? It's about 35-point games, and in comparison to Carmelo Anthony and what Melo did in a Nuggets uniform. So Jokic now has 11 35-point games this season. Carmelo had 11 35-point games in a season just one time in his career as a Nugget. Jokic has done that right now, and we're not at the All-Star break in what is a shortened season. I mean, it is flat out history in the making. And I think that a lot of times when history is made, not just in sports, but in any realm of life, when history is being made, how it will be remembered, it doesn't really, when you're in the moment, I'm not sure you can appreciate it as fully as you can as it resonates in time. And I think that's happening right now. I think we're trying as a basketball community to add context and quantify what Nikola is doing. But it is, when we look back on this, we are going to marvel at this season of NBA basketball from a 25-year-old young man. And his 50th triple-double, as we said. It joins Wilt Chamberlain on the list of centers to reach the milestone. All right? So it's only Jokic and Wilt. That's the list of centers going for 50 triple-doubles. The kicker is that Wilt notched his 50th triple-double in his 700th, and it took him 703 games. Okay? Jokic has done it in 416 games. In the modern era, the difference between those two numbers, 703 and 416, that's the equivalent of 3.5 seasons. Just let that sink in. 3.5 seasons, the difference of how many games it took Wilt in his era, when there's like literally 9 teams in the NBA, and it's the fastest era of NBA basketball, where the average score was, you know, teams were scoring like 122 points. That's what last year's Milwaukee Bucks and Houston Rockets scored, to add context. Only they were doing it back then without a three-point line. So think about how fast the pace must be, right? So it is truly remarkable. And the 50 triple-doubles, again, this is just insane. I can't believe I'm saying this. The 50 triple-doubles is more triple-doubles than Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Bill Russell, Bill Walton, Shaquille O'Neal, Patrick Ewing, and Tim Duncan combined. I almost don't even want to do the rest of the podcast. I don't even know what I could say that could raise the bar more than that statement. It is absolutely insane, but let me try. Let me try to add even more context. 30-point triple-doubles, okay? 30-point triple-doubles. Think about how hard that is to do, because you're just stuffing the stat sheet, but you're also getting 30. The most 30-point triple-doubles by a center in NBA history. Wilt Chamberlain did it 21 times. Kareem did it 8 times. And now Jokic has done it 8 times. That's the list. Those are the top three. Jokic has tied someone who you could argue is literally the greatest player in league history, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, certainly in the top five on my list and most reasonable basketball fans' list. They're neck and neck with 30-point triple-doubles. And Jokic, again, is 25 years old. It is absolutely stunning history we are watching unfold. And because we're watching it every single night, I don't want... You know, I was joking around saying I'm becoming exhausted trying to describe the greatness of this season. But just because we're watching it every single night, I don't want to treat it like the Rocky Mountains. And what I mean by that is that if you live in Denver for years and years, or better yet, if you're from Colorado, you can kind of just get used to looking at the Rocky Mountains. And I don't want that to happen to me. I'm not from Denver, and I never want to lose the magic of me staring at one of the greatest mountain ranges in the world, because I remember the feeling when I first laid eyes on them, and it was so special. Something else I can make it equivalent to is the first time I saw Niagara Falls. It just takes your breath away. And I don't want the routine nature of what Nicole is doing to become stale, because it's just brilliant. It's the coolest thing that I maybe have ever seen in the game of basketball. I've never seen a guy that size be this comfortable in literally nearly every facet of the game. From the seamless comfort and not thinking of pulling up, taking a 15-foot jump shot with a hand in his face that's just a little bit late getting their hand down, man down, to rebounding basketballs with one hand as he fends off a would-be rebounder, chucking it with one hand down the court like he plays quarterback, to seamlessly finding coin slot-type passes and squeezing it in for layups. What we're seeing on a night-to-night basis is... I mean, I could go on for an hour on this, but I don't want to, because I need to make time for Jamal Murray, who is putting together the best stretch of regular season NBA basketball in his career. Against the Milwaukee Bucks, 24 points, an efficient 10 of 17 from the field. Didn't shoot it super efficient from three, but still found a way to be extra effective. And you look at the last 3 weeks of Jamal Murray's resume, it is all-star stuff. It's the definition of it. Now, he's not going to go to the All-Star game because, as Mike Malone pointed out, it's too late in the process to make this sort of run. But if he did this, or just even split up these performances throughout the early season so far, it's an all-star type of season. I mean, look at this. So this is the game log going back to February 12th against Oklahoma City, where they eked out a win. He was coming off a game where he had just 8 points. And I was critical, right? And rightfully so. Like, Jamal, this is what I'm talking about. Like, you follow up an 11-point performance against the Bucks with an 8-point performance against Cleveland. But since that point, in the mid-February, Jamal Murray has gone for 22 points, 25 points, 25 points, 35 points, 50 points, 30 points, 24, 34, 26, 24, 24. And he is shedding the skin of something that I hoped he would, and that is, and if you've listened to this podcast over the last couple weeks, you've heard me say this a bunch. He needs to shed the moniker of a Bubble Murray, because that isolates your performance to this small window in time. And it's, you know, you're being measured up to it. And if he just is that guy, not necessarily 50 points, but if he's just consistently great, then you're not going to attach some small window of time and have it define a guy's career. Forget Bubble Murray. It's just Jamal Murray. And that's what we're seeing right now. And it is so fun to watch. He is in such a zone. He has the confidence level of, like, I'll holler at Beyonce if I see her level of confidence. Okay? It is off the freaking charts. In the first quarter, he's throwing one up over his head just because he's so hyper aware of where the rim is on a layup. Another buzzer beating jumper in the first quarter. So he did the same thing the night before against the Bulls. I mean, it's just cold freaking blooded. Cold freaking blooded. And this team is going to go not just as Jokic goes, but as Jamal goes. And you have to be so wildly encouraged of that direction watching the last handful of weeks of Denver Nuggets basketball. I'm just so, so excited about what's next for this basketball team. I got to give a big shout out to P.J. Dozier, who I thought was a tremendous against the Milwaukee Bucks. He went for 19 points and was a team-high plus 28 when he was out on the floor. He made a big difference, man. He made a big difference. I thought Will Barton was terrific against the Bucks. He has a nice history against Milwaukee. He goes for plus. He was a plus 13. Went for 14 points. Had 5 assists and 8 rebounds. He was active. He looked spry. Michael Porter Jr. in double figures. So impressed with the corner that Michael Porter Jr. is turning. If you look at his last, it's close to almost 3 weeks now. But really, you could look back at the game against the Washington Wizards, in which the Nuggets narrowly lost in just brutal fashion at the end of that game, if you remember, with the foul. But you can really isolate this time period from February 17th till now. It feels like MPJ has legitimately turned a corner. He's just active. He's rebounding the basketball. 7 rebounds against the Bucks, 15 against the Chicago Bulls, 3 games of 10 straight leading up to that point. I mean, it's just, I absolutely love it. It feels like he is crossing through a threshold of consistency that we've been waiting for, and it's really exciting. It's really exciting. So across the board, and Zeke Nagy, it hasn't all been perfect. I wasn't even expecting him to play this much, a little bit of circumstances. He's got to play a little bit more, but he had a bounce pass on the breakaway. And I think it was to Hartenstein. It was a small play, but it's the right play. And that's what I see Zeke Nagy do a lot. Just make the right play. He had that buzzer-beating tip with just about a second left. And I'm excited about Zeke Najee and the direction that he's going. And I thought Vlatko Chanchar was terrific as well. I mean, if you told me going into the Bucks game that Chanchar would be a plus 22 in 22 minutes, I'd tell you were, you know, playing 2K. But it was just, things seem like they are coming together for the Nuggets, and you can't get much better than 3-0 on a road trip that concludes with the Indiana Pacers. That game will be on Friday evening, all right? That game is tomorrow night, on Thursday evening, followed with a game against Memphis. That's after the All-Star break. So here we go. I mean, if the Nuggets win their last four leading up to the All-Star break, you couldn't write it any better. And this team does need rest, it does need to get healthy, and it could be happening at the right time. So thank you again for stopping by. Those are my thoughts for today. And you know, whatever happens against the Pacers on Thursday night, we'll be talking about it right here on the Mile High Hoops podcast.
Oh, hey, didn't realize you were listening. Well, let's make this quick. And don't touch that dial. We're Rocky Mountain Forest Products, and we're not aggressive. We're passionate. And we're not going to blast you with facts you don't need. But when you do, visit rmfp.com. Whether you're in need of fencing, decking, or siding information, it's all there. And best of all, it's free. No one likes a salesman, so we're not going to sell you. Whether you need the info or not, just remember rmfp.com. You do you, Colorado. You do you.